our special guest, Dr. Judy Wood and attorney Jerry Leppert. And we're going to go directly to Billy in Georgia. Billy, you got what's on your mind today?
Oh, my God, Brian Bros. I study him all the time. I stay at the computer. I want her to explain to me how a 757 can go into the Pentagon and those pigeons, 12,000 pounds of peas. The airline is not sheared off or anything. There's no body scattered around. I have worked crash sites. When I was in Vietnam in 1969, I have worked Chinook. I have worked UH-1 Delta Hotel crash site. And one thing about it, now we use JP-4. Now, no matter how bad the wreck was, the steel in that aircraft or the iron would never, ever melt. It was always intact. The bodies that we retrieved might be burning up pretty bad and stuff, but that was, the steel would never melt. And it is no way, when the aircraft hit that building and you saw that big fireball, the majority of that fuel was burned up and consumed in the air right then.
Uh-huh. That's right.
and they talking about this here building coming straight down. Now, it's been reported, the audio tape, the fireman was up. That said we only need two holes to knock the rest of this here to get it under control and stuff. And anytime you got black smoke coming out of a building, you got an oxygen-deprived plane.
So why do you...
So there's no way that building could have happened. And what gets me? Three buildings in the same day? My God. And until they investigate that, Brian Bros, and bring out the truth on that, then, hey, nothing is going to be solved. Because to me, that was an inside job. It is no way anybody could carry out something like that with such precision as they did that day. I don't believe that, and I never will. I sit back and take answer up there.
Okay, thanks a lot, Billy. Dr. Wood, you want to deal with that one?
Yeah, well, actually, it was seven buildings that were destroyed that day. They all coincidentally had the pre-UTC, which is kind of an interesting coincidence.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
Building three, which was between buildings one and two, half of it disappeared while building two went poof, and the rest of it disappeared while building one went poof. But nobody noticed.
My God.
Or few noticed. But there is this concern. Why did they tell us this story?
Yeah.
Why is there a cover story? And so it might be wise to look at things and question, when they tell us a story, what is it covering for?
Yeah.
On 9/11, of course, the cover story was that we had 19 guys with box cutters outsmart the U.S., trillion-dollar military.
Right, right.
Pretty good story.
So
if they want to use this this gizmo again, what will be the cover story?
Yeah.
You know, Ambrose, that that leads to an issue that we started a number of us started discussing a couple of weeks ago when we noted that. There's been all this saber rattling as against Iran, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we know that an attack against Iran is not militarily feasible right now with so much of the U.S.'s combat capability being literally tied down in Iraq, such that an invasion of Iran simply cannot occur because the U.S. Hasn't the military capacity to do that. We also know that the target of that the targets of opportunity in Iran center on their reinforced structures where they house their nuclear power facilities of one sort or another. So that means that a traditional bombing campaign would not likely succeed. Pardon?
Go ahead.
Okay. But what could what could work on Iran's nuclear infrastructure would be directed energy or particle beam weapons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, therein lies the importance of Dr. Wood's work. By calling attention to the existence of directed energy weaponry, mm-hmm. by calling attention to the specific effects that result from the use of such weapons, Dr. Judy Wood may well be instrumental in either preventing or certainly postponing any such use of such weapons elsewhere, such as in Iraq, because mm-hmm. if they are used mm-hmm. elsewhere, they will leave telltale effects consisting in cylindrical holes of the type that Dr. Wood's work demonstrates, mm-hmm. of inexplicable, as she calls them, toasted cars, or mm-hmm. that is to say, intense heat effects located in random spots away from the intended target area,
mm-hmm.
The extreme dustification of steel and concrete structures, leaving virtually nothing behind, and all of these effects taking place in mere seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other facet that I didn't mention. For example, at Ground Zero, Building 4, majority of the building disappeared.
What?
The north wing remained completely intact, as though it was surgically removed and cut off, but the rest of the building's just gone.
Oh, bizarre.
Yeah, and that's visually demonstrated.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to John. John, you're on.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Ambrose, and your guest there?
Good.
I appreciate everything they said, because I'm one of those folks who, from the very first day that I watched those buildings go down, I've seen both of them go down, and I said that was a government job, because I kind of figured it out as the years go by. That was an attack on the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and it was an attack so that everything they do in the name of security, like, and it was a prelude to the war in Iraq, habeas corpus,
mm-hmm.
those concentration camps that they have almost $1 billion allotted for,
yep.
Quote unquote civil unrest. Mm-hmm. You're right here in America. Mm-hmm. You can just go down the list and see that. But the question I wanted to ask your guests was this. I don't have, every time I email one of these news organizations and ask them to do a thorough investigation, sort of like how they did Scott Peterson, you know, he was on this day and that day, and they do timelines and stuff like that. The news people have the resource to actually go in. They could get engineers. They could, they could get people opposing this phony explanation about collapse. Why don't they do it? It's like all of them are afraid to do it. And I want to ask you guys, are y'all capable of contacting or getting in touch with news people? Or can you guys petition them? And that's my question.
Okay. Thanks a lot, John.
That's an excellent question. And I think lies a problem,
yeah.
that we start seeing. I don't know if there's very many people in the media who are as courageous as you are, who are willing to approach this.
Well, let's try to put some spurs in this saddle. Let's go to Jonathan in Virginia. Jonathan?
Hey, hello?
Hello, you're on. You're breaking up on me, though.
Yeah, I just want to find out, so when it comes to the World Trade Center during this construction, did they use concrete to actually build the skyscraper besides the steel?
Very little concrete was used. It was mainly used to make smooth floors to walk on. The majority of the building was steel because they could make it stronger and lighter to be able to make it taller. If you made it out of concrete, that's a huge amount of weight to have that tall.
Yeah. Just what I have to say is that, okay, for a skyscraper, I figured that would be the last thing they want to use to help the process.
Jonathan, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll have to take a break. We'll come back directly to you. and see if you can correct your phone there. We'll be right back.